Let's pray. God, as we look at your word this morning, challenge each and every one of our hearts to see ways in which we can become more of what you desire for us to be. For it's in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. All right. What's the title of today's message? Try that one more time. Title of today's message? You are making a difference. Look at your neighbor and tell him you're making a difference. All right. Let me introduce you to Stephen and Joseph. Stephen and Joseph are twins, but very different from each other. Stephen in high school started hanging around with the wrong crowd, got involved with using and selling drugs, caused his parents undue headache and heartache. By the time Stephen was 22, Steve had 3 kids by 3 different women and had spent 2 years in jail. His twin brother Joseph, however, in high school went into sports, was MVP of the high school basketball team, was an honor student, and by age 22, he had graduated with his BA degree and has already landed his first job making $45,000 a year. With his first paycheck, he sent his parents on a cruise. All of you are saying, I wish Joseph was my kid at this point. He will be married this coming June. Now, when it came to their family, which of them really made a difference? They both did. Everybody is making a difference. The question is not, are you making a difference, but rather, what kind of difference are you making? You see, if you are called as a believer in Jesus Christ, you have been called to make a difference for Jesus Christ. Now, before today's Old Testament reading, most of you never heard of Jashobab, Bashabeth, or Eliezer, or Shammai, or Abishai, or Benaiah. And when Billy first heard of them, she wanted to choke me for giving her that passage. But you did magnificent. The reason you don't know about these fellas is none of them were out to make a name for themselves. They did what they did in order to support the kingdom of King David. Now, how many of you know who King David was? All right, we know who he was. These men were equipped to do extraordinary tasks, but their goal was to make a difference for the king. Brother, you got my head way too big on this screen. I know Pastor Toby about the only one that likes looking at me at that size. Bless her heart. That's because she needs glasses like I do. But anyways, these guys were David's mighty men. And God has equipped us with different talents and abilities, not for us to shine as individual stars, but to make a difference for Jesus Christ. We are to be Jesus' mighty men, Jesus' mighty women, Jesus' mighty you. Now, we have been studying spiritual gifts for the last 6 weeks in Life Sharing and Pioneers. And this past week, we took a test to find out what our spiritual gifts were. Now, some of you were surprised to discover what gifts you had, and others of you were just confirmed in what you were already doing, and you knew this is what you had been gifted in. Now, the Word of God makes it clear you were given a spiritual gift by God to make a difference in the body of Christ. To make a difference where? In the body of Christ. That's why it is ridiculous to try to be a Christian without being a part of a church. It's like being a carburetor and refusing to have anything to do with cars. You never will function the way you were supposed to. You were made to fit somewhere in the body of Christ. Now, one of the things about using our spiritual gifts in the way that God intended for us to use them is that it keeps us from becoming bored and useless in the church. Think about it for a moment. What happens to a person who's on a football team who learns some of the plays and he comes to practice some of the time and he shows up at the game and every time they say, you ready to go into the game? The person says, no, I don't want to go in right now. But they find ample opportunity to tell you what you did wrong while you were out in the game and how we should have did that if we were intending to win the game. After a while, they start complaining about the team, they start complaining about the coach, and they start thinking, if only I was on another team, then things would be better. My friends, if you do not use the spiritual gift God has given you for the building up of the church, you will get bored and disillusioned with the church. You will be making a difference, but it will not be a positive one for Christ. That is why our New Testament reading there in Romans says, whatever your gift is, use it. If it's serving, serve. If it's leadership, lead. Whatever it is, use it. Now, I want us to recognize this. Spiritual gifts are not a substitute for obedience to Christ. Never be dazzled and amazed by somebody's spiritual gift whose lifestyle is not in accord with the Word of God. For Jesus warns us that in the day of judgment, people will say, but Jesus, I cast out demons, I did miracles, I did this, that, and the other thing. And Jesus says, I will say to them, I never knew you. Every spiritual gift can be faked by Satan. Spiritual maturity is not determined by how well we use our spiritual gifts. Spiritual maturity is based on how much we allow the Word of God to shape our attitudes, our actions, our behaviors, and our willingness to serve in the life of the church. That's why you can't go to a conference somewhere and come back a spiritual giant. All you did was you got a little extra knowledge. Until you have actually applied it in your life and people can see some real changes take place, you're the same person you was when you left. You just got a bigger head, that's all. Or you know a little bit more. Now, using our spiritual gifts is evidence that we are willing to make a difference for the cause of Christ. So in other words, our spiritual maturity requires that we use our spiritual gifts. Otherwise, we will become stagnant and turn into complainers. Tell you, Nick, you don't want to be a complainer. Show me a person who constantly complains in the church, and I'll show you somebody who is not using their spiritual gift. For there is no spiritual gift of complaining in the scriptures. Some people have claimed it, but it does not exist. Using your spiritual gift will help you in your desire to be found pleasing to God, because when you use it, it's an act of worship. Worship is not simply singing songs and praying prayers. Worship is presenting our bodies to God as a sacrifice to be used by God in the way God wants to use us. This, the Bible says, is our reasonable worship. So to worship God is to utilize our spiritual gift. If you come to church and you don't utilize your spiritual gifts, then you did not come to worship. Worship involves doing those things that are going to bring glory to God. Now, an usher is offering worship in the way he or she does their job as an usher on Sunday. That's why the worshiper ought to give their very best. Terry sitting over here on this camera is worshiping God. He is making a sacrifice so that God may be glorified in some other arena. Now, I want you to know you are making a difference when you come to church. Now, the great enemy of the body of Christ is the me we bring to church. When we think it's all about me and what I want and what I like and what makes me happy and what makes me feel good and where me want to sit, how many of you know there is no letters M-E in the word church? There is no M-E in the word body. There's not even an M-E in Christ. Thinking about me will lead down the road to jealousy, hurt feelings, and comparison. Thinking about Christ leads to, what can my part in order to further the ministry of Jesus Christ. Now in 1 Corinthians 12:12, it says, the body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts. Though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. Now the picture that we have here of us as Christians is that we are all much greater than we are part of something that's much greater than ourselves. It would be a mistake to look at Glenville and think that you have seen the body of Christ. It would also be a mistake to look at Glenville and think that you have not seen the body of Christ. In the same way, I could look at your leg and I could say, I saw you, but you could argue, no, you didn't see me because you didn't see all of me. It is impossible to see the entire body of Christ because it's larger than any culture, it's larger than any nation, it's larger than any organization, and it exists beyond time. Now, as a part of the larger body, we do have a responsibility to other parts of the body of Christ that may be in need. That's why we give to other churches to support them in their missions, because what happens to them eventually gets back to what happens to us. It's just like if you get an infection in your finger and you don't do anything about it, sooner or later, you're going to know about it over in this part of the body because that thing will spread. The same way when we give some medicine to the mouth, it ends up healing that headache we got up further about. So as the body of Christ, we are called to help one another. Now, people may say the church is just full of hypocrites. How many of you ever heard that before? Church full of hypocrites. How many of you have said church was full of hypocrites before? A couple of three. Okay, some of y'all out there being honest. Well, just remember this. The only place you can be a hypocrite is in the church. Okay? If you're not in here. So it's only natural that the church will have some hypocrites in it. But even though we say that, we do believe Jesus makes a difference. Even folks who don't try to follow him, no, we expect people who call themselves Christians to act the same kind of way under similar circumstances. Let's suppose one night you're out driving and you're listening to your gospel praise and wasn't paying attention to the exit, and you just drove right past your exit, and you had to get off at the next exit, and the next exit you got off at, you didn't know too much about the neighborhood, and before you could get back on the highway, you got a flat tire, and you get real scared because you read last week that some guys beat up this black person on this same street that you were. So you out there trying to get your tire unchained, and all of a sudden a door opens and out comes six great big white guys in leather jackets with silver spikes talking loudly and coming at you. Let me ask you this. Would it ease your mind greatly to know that they were coming out of the house with Bibles in their hand from a prayer meeting singing, "Shout to the Lord, all ye earth, let us sing"? How many of you all of a sudden feeling a whole lot better than you were? So even though they don't look like you, they don't dress like you, when you hear that evidence of Jesus, you think, thank you, God, you done sent me some help. You expect members of the body of Christ to act like members of the body of Christ. All of a sudden, they're no longer enemies. These are my brothers and sisters. Okay, so this lets us know we are all part of something far greater than ourselves. We expect believers in Jesus Christ to make a difference. Now, the unity we have for each other is not based on a great natural love for each other, but rather from being touched by the power of Jesus. For in 12:13 it says, "For we were all baptized into one spirit, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given one spirit to drink." Now, we can paraphrase this thing today so that we can understand it a little better. It's saying, we have been baptized into one spirit, whether we can afford designer clothes or not, whether we live in the city or in the suburbs, whether we have many natural talents or only one, whether others think we are dashingly handsome and beautiful or just average, whether we are of this race or that race, whether we are old or young, and whether we have a lot or very little, we were all still given the same spirit to drink. Now the body, it says there in verse 14, now the body is made up of one part, not made up of one part, but of many. You know, there is something about God that insists on variety and diversity. That's why I just love the Nature Channel. God didn't just make fish. God made perch and catfish and sharks and tuna and bass and a whole lot more. God didn't just make mountains. He made the Rockies, the Andes, the Appalachians, the Himalayas, and the Pyrenees. All of them that's got something slightly different about them. God didn't just make a tree. He went out and made oaks and elms and pines and maple and bamboo and a whole lot of others. God didn't just make a person. He made white ones and yellow ones and brown ones and red ones. And he didn't make any green ones. We did that ourselves with paint. But he made all these other shades in between. He didn't just make a church. He made small ones and middle-sized ones and large ones and great big ones. Even when he filled the music in them, he didn't put one kind of music in church. He put gospel in some, classical in others, hymns in others, choruses in others. He put orchestras in others, and some of them, they won't even allow you to have any instruments in it. Yet God does things with variety and diversity. There's only one problem with diversity. And the problem with diversity is diversity. It means that some of us didn't get the same thing as others. And somehow we start saying, that's not quite fair. Spiritual gifts are part of God's diversity. Now you have somebody saying, well, I don't want to go out and spend no time at the nursing home. I want to preach before thousands of people. Well, that's then all the exaltation of one gift above another. That's saying the gift of exhortation is more important than the gifts of mercy. So we want things to be fair, especially if we feel like we didn't get what we thought we should have gotten. How many of you know Jesus did not come to be fair? The goal in the church is to win people for Christ and to help them grow in Christ. Now, how many of you got a favorite basketball team? Anybody here? And for some of y'all, that would be the Cavs. For the rest of all, meet down for prayer after service this morning. Now, those who are Cavs fans, how many of you would insist that everybody got equal playing time on the Cavs team, even if it meant LeBron had to sit out two quarters? Ain't nobody pushing for that. Why? Because the goal is not to be fair. The goal is to win the game. The goal in the church is not to be fair. The goal is to get the harvest that God intended for us to get. Now, players gladly take secondary roles so that the primary goal can be achieved. God's agenda is to make a difference in people's lives so that they can be saved. Can we trust God to put the right people in the right spot with the right talents and the right gifts? Yes. Now, nobody knows the total circumstances except God. So until we can see things completely from God's perspective, how can we say God was fair or not fair? How can we know if God gave us a role for a particular reason or not? You see, some of you, sometimes people will say, you need to be in the choir. The first thing you say is, well, I can't sing. No, that's not necessarily true. Sometimes God has you in the choir because the choir needs spiritual gifts. You know how much confusion goes on in the choir? Don't you know you need somebody in the choir with the gift of pastoring? Somebody that can say, hey, y'all, let's just come together right now and let's pray about it. in the choir not for you to sing solos. He got you in the choir because he needs a pastor in the choir. So your role is to sing whatever background song that whatever comes up. Yeah, you may sing softly with it, but realize you are there for a purpose with a spiritual gift for a reason. The men's association, the women's association. Heaven knows you need people with the gift of pastoring there. You need people with the gift of helps. Okay? You don't have to be a person that can think up great things, but you can clean a table. You can sweep the floor. An interesting example we had of the gift of helps. Now, in Sylvia's class, life sharing class, Ralph Deadweiler is a member of their class. And one day they sat down and they got ready to eat and they like, man, something is missing. There was no water on the table and no napkins, and they couldn't figure out what it was until they realized Ralph was missing that day. And Ralph has the gift of help. Nobody ever asked him to go get the napkins, to go get the water. He just did it. And the moment he didn't do it, the rest of the body realized something is not right here. God's agenda is to build the body. I'm not sure why God made me or why God made you, but I do know God intended for me to be in the body and God intended for you to be in the body. I also know God intended for both of us to make a positive difference. Now, my choice is to either accept it or get a serious attitude problem. Nobody here would get an attitude problem, but there are some churches where people get attitude problems. I won't name none of them by name. I want you to meet Joe Foote and Bob Hand. At first, Joe Foote and Bob Hand, they liked each other, got along really well. They both were the only parts of the body that had five things sticking out at the end of them. They both were one color on the top and another color on the bottom. They both had a twin on the other side of the body. But then one day, Joe just got ticked off. The body kept building Bob Hand up, and Joe Foote just didn't think that was right. Each time the body got a ring, Bob got to wear it. Each time somebody wanted to give somebody a high five, Bob got to do it. Each time something beautiful was displayed, Bob got to touch it and hold it. Joe just got fed up with this. He decided to declare his independence from the body. He told his twin, Sam Foote, look, man, don't you see all the attention the body gives to those hand brothers? I just can't stand it. I really don't like Bob on the right side. I tell you, I've come to the conclusion I'm not a hand, therefore I'm not going to be any part of the body anymore. And his twin, Sam Foote, said, man, you can't stop being a part of the body just by saying I don't belong to the body. Of course you're not a hand. You're a foot, just like I'm a foot. Joe says, well, I don't want to be a foot anymore, and if I can't be a hand, I'm not going to be anything. I'm not going to do anything. Tell Pastor Rick don't even contact me about no per capita. So Joe Foote shuts down. He refuses to allow any blood or life from the body to enter the foot area. You know what's going to happen to Joe Foote when no fresh blood or oxygen can get down there? Gangrene is on its way. And the tragedy is, after a while, the only way the body is going to be able to survive is to cut Joe off altogether. Joe's problem was envy. He felt that any special opportunities given to others ought also to have been given to him. How many of you know God never intended for a foot to receive the same treatment as a hand? A foot brings special talents and gifts to the body that no other part of the body can take. Without the feet, there is no running, no jumping, no hopping, no skipping, no moving around is going to take place. What we need to do is humble ourselves and be thankful for what God has given us. You know, every now and then we do the same thing in the church. We say, well, you know, the pastors, they have their favorites. You want to know something? I confess, I have my favorites. When there is somebody that'll volunteer at the drop of a hat to do something that I need to be done, I confess, I favor that person a little bit more than the person who never will do anything but complain about me being having some favorites. Just a little secret. My goal is not to be fair. My goal is to build the body of Christ at Glenville. So when somebody says, don't you think Pastor Rick chose favorite? He said, praise God, he said he did. And move on to the next question. Now, the temptation in the body of Christ is to want to increase in the eyes of others. The enemy mean sneak back in. We want others to admire us and to see us. How many of you confess that crosses your mind once in a while in the church where you'd like to be seen? Good day. You mean to tell me I'm the only one with this problem? I'm always struggling with me versus Christ. How come that didn't happen to me? I worked just as hard as so-and-so. How come that didn't? We forget the question isn't, what do others think of me? The question is, did others get to see Jesus? If they got to see Jesus, then we've done our job. If all they saw was us, might have been a magnificent performance, but it was all in vain. Now, it's possible to be lifted up by God and have a very prominent place in the body of Christ and still be jealous. Meet Barbara Ear and Sarah I. Both of them are very distinguished members of the body. But Barbara Ear has decided that even though she's an ear, she feels led to be an eye. Somehow the eyes is where it's truly at. It's possible for God to call you and serve in a part of the body that you feel is somehow not quite up to your standards. It's not enough to be up front. You got to be the center of the one that's up front. The focus is not on what God needs you to do or wants you to do. It centers on what you want to do when you want to do it. So Barbara Ear is ready to take her gift and go home. She has her rights. She proudly proclaims, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body. My friends, what good is an ear that's not attached to the body? We look at an ear on the ground and it just sends shivers through. Do you know how much spiritual power is lost from a church's ministry when its members act like that ear, refuse to be a part of the body? Would it make a difference to you if one of your kidneys stopped working? One of your eyes stopped working? One of your lungs stopped working? Would you say, oh, I got another one, no big deal? Are you in the body of Christ to present yourself as a servant in it as Christ sees fit? Are you still trying to insist that everybody should be treated the same? I want you to know God has no intention of treating us the same in the church because he made us for different purposes. It says there in verse 17, if the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. That means you do not have the right to keep your gift to yourself. God made you that way to help in the body. Now, if you want additional spiritual gifts, ask God to give it to you and to change you in such a way as to receive it. But search your heart and ask, God, do I want this gift because I want others to see me, or because I know others will see less of me and more of you. You have an obligation to God to actively use your gift to make a difference for the cause of Christ. And God gave you what he gave you because nobody else can do exactly what you do in the way God wants you to do it. Your spiritual gift has qualified you to be a starter on God's team. We need to all be willing to get out of the pews, get in the game, and win it for Christ, because you are making